Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Burt. Hey, and thank you so much for tuning in to our Every Nation channel. And I got news for you. God has got a word for you. God's got a word for you today. And so before we jump into our Uncommon series, let me start with the story about the 2019 St. Louis Blues. So I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but most sports teams, they'll kind of adopt an anthem, a song that they listen to throughout the season. And it becomes kind of their jam, their anthem. And so the 2019 St. Louis Blues of the National Hockey League, they were floundering. They found themselves midway through the season in last place. They wound up firing their coach, and just nothing seems to be working for this underachieving hockey team. And then one night, they were staying over in Philadelphia. They were playing the Philadelphia Flyers the next evening. A group of the team leaders, they went out to a local pub in Philly. They thought they would catch some football, eat a few chicken wings the night before the game. And so they're in this little sports bar, and every time a football team scores a touchdown, the place would erupt, and they would turn on the song Gloria by Laura Branigan, right? Gloria, Gloria, right? You know that one? And so, man, the guys thought it was a lame song, but they kept scoring all these touchdowns, and it got stuck in their head. Fast forward, the following night, St. Louis just manhandled the Philadelphia Flyers. They won by, I believe, a score of 4-0. They shut them out. And so after the game, the Blues were so excited, and so normally they would turn on their song anthem, but not tonight. This night, the boys yelled for, "Put on some Gloria! Put on some Gloria!" And Gloria became their new team anthem. Word got out throughout the city of St. Louis, and get this, man, it galvanized the team and the city, and they rode the wave, the momentum of the song Gloria, all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals, where they beat the Boston Bruins in a 7-game series, 4-3. And so, man, if that's not something, man, a Gloria, well, let me tell you, so that was St. Louis's anthem. So my anthem, when I was playing for the 1992 Hartford Whalers, you know you're an old guy when the team doesn't exist anymore, right? And so, but our team anthem was the song Escape. And so you don't realize it, but you know the song Escape. It's better known as the Pina Colada song, right? If you like pina colada. Like, that was our team anthem. That may explain why our teams always stunk. but listen, the song Escape, you know, the lyrics, it's actually telling the story of a man and a woman. They have everything they need, everything they desire right in front of them. And they're blind to it, and they go out looking for it elsewhere. And I want to say this, that's my big fear for many of you. See, so today we're going to talk about friendship with God, an uncommon friendship. And listen, everything your heart's longing for and desiring for, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it's right there in front of you. It's friendship from God, with God. It's not something out there, any amount of money, any kind of home you can live in, any kind of relationship in this world. It's only the relationship, the friendship, the uncommon friendship that you can have with Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And it's something very dear to me, uncommon friendship. So before we jump into that, let me remind you. So this was back in 2016. It was just a September baseball game at Yankee Stadium. I can't even recall who the Yankees were playing. In fact, it didn't even matter, because what took place up in the stands was overshadowing what was taking place on the baseball field. See, there was a young man by the name of Andrew Fox was going to propose to his girlfriend Heather during the game. And so he made arrangements, paid like $100 to get them on the Jumbotron so he could propose to his girl. For the record, side note, fellas, if you're thinking about proposing to your girl that way, don't. All right, don't do it. Back to the story. And so Andrew Fox, it's the seventh inning, and the Jumbotron gets out to him, and he drops to his knees in the stands, and he's about ready to, when he drops to his knees, he not only drops to his knees, he also dropped the ring that he was going to propose to his girl, Heather, with. And so now there's this mad-ass scamper trying to find the ring. And it got so, people got so caught of it that the whole stadium was watching this event and no longer watching the baseball game. In fact, even the local TV feed with Michael Kay in it, they switched over and just started looking at this poor soul that dropped his engagement ring. All these eyes are on him until finally, man, they scooped it up and they found it. And he proposed to her, and I think we have an image. Man, they kiss and all that. So the next day, they were instant celebrities. And they did all the talk show circuits. Man, they were on the Ellen Show and Inside Edition, all these different things. And so they were married. And then promptly, 1 year later, they divorced. And they currently hate one another. And so here's a big idea. And I just say this, man. The ring is not the point. It's the relationship behind the ring. That's what matters. And I want to tell you, man, behind everything in the Christian faith, when you boil it all down, it's all about one thing, relationship with God. Like the Garden of Eden, we get paradise. And what's it about? Adam and Eve walking with God in the cool of the garden. It's about relationship with God. I mean, you fast forward to Moses and the Exodus. Like God comes to Moses and he says this, I will be your God and you will be my people, right? It's about what? Relationship. The cross and the resurrection. What? It's about reconciling us back to God, putting us back into relationship or friendship with God. And even in fact, heaven. Heaven is, I've heard it said this way, that heaven's not a place for those that are afraid of hell. Heaven is a place for those who love God, right? It's about relationship. Jesus says it this way in John 17, verse 3. He says, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. He says, this is eternal life. It's not a place. It's a person. It's a relationship. It's friendship with God. And so I was alarmed last night as we were kind of going through the channels in my home, and I noticed, God help us, that the Hallmark Channel has already started doing its romantic Christmas movies, all right? So I'm going to have to choke down a few of those because my girls like watching that trash. And so that's going on. But here's what I do know. Man, we're not even to Halloween yet, and now we're already doing like Christmas stuff. But I do know this, man. When Christmas rolls around, there's going to be three movies that are a staple in my life. Up during Christmas. I'm going to watch Elf probably on Thanksgiving Day. I'm going to watch Elf and then I'm going to watch It's a Wonderful Life, and then I'm going to watch this movie, The Family Man. I'm not sure if you've seen this one. It's kind of a modern day spin on It's a Wonderful Life. It stars Nicolas Cage, who, for the record, I think he's an over actor and a terrible actor, but he's fantastic in this movie, okay? And so in this movie, his wife is Tia Leone, and there's this one powerful scene where his name is Jack, and Jackie asks her to give up everything she's ever dreamed of in her family life, in her home, and do it all so he could pursue his career. And as she just in tears approaches him, she just says this, Jack, if this is what you need, I'll give it all up. I'll give it all up. She says this, because I choose us. Man, when I see that scene, it just rocks me every time. Because don't we have the opportunity to do that each and every day? Is man, you have an opportunity to choose friendship and relationship with God, or you can be a friend of the world. And the Bible's pretty clear, to be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. You know, it says this in John 15, verse 13. Jesus says this, greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus, he has already declared his desire for friendship with you by what? Dying his death on the cross for you and I. Man, it's a declaration of friendship. And so here's the big question for you today is this, God chose you, but will you choose God? Will you choose relationship with God? You know, in the Garden of Eden, You remember there's two trees that God places in the garden, the tree of life and what? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know, when you're in friendship and relationship, you don't need a lot of rules and regulations. And so there was one rule in the Garden of Eden, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so if you're a thinker at all, like I'm asking myself, well, God, why would you even put that there then? Like everything, you know, went to hell in a handbasket because that tree was in there and they ate of it. And here's the reason why. Is do you know that God was giving Adam and Eve an opportunity each and every day to say, nope, I choose you, Jesus. Every day, I choose you, Jesus. I choose you, Jesus. But there came a day when they no longer chose Jesus. They chose the lust of their flesh, the lust of their eyes, and the pride of life. And they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? And so do you know that you have the exact same opportunity that Adam and Eve had in the garden? Like every time that you obey God, it's a declaration, it's a choice, saying, I choose us, Jesus. John 15 and verse 14, Jesus says this, he says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Now it's like when you read that, it's like, Jesus, that sounds manipulative. You know, hey, you better do what I say or I'm not gonna love you. You know, it just sounds weird. But isn't it true? Like he's distinguishing that servants, they obey because they have to. But friends, they obey. Why? Because they want to. Because they're friends. And so every act of obedience, every time you say, nevertheless, not my will, Lord, but your will be done, man, it's you're actively saying, I choose us, Jesus. I choose friendship with God. Are you a friend of God? You know, there's some pitfalls to this idea of friendship with God, and as a pastor, I want to make you very aware of the pitfalls. And so, I've heard it said, for every mile of road, there's 2 miles of ditch. Right? You can go fall on one side or the other of the road, and I don't want you falling in the ditch anywhere. And so, here's the first pitfall in friendship with God. It can lead to just a lack of reverence for God as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And so, so for example, I pray here at Every Nation New Jersey, we're much more canine in our theology than feline. You know what I'm saying? Like for a dog, dog's thinking, hey, you feed me, you clean up after me, you take care of me, you must be God. Not a cat. He says, man, you feed me, you clean up after me, you take care of me, I must be God. Right? And so we want to be canine in theology. We want to honor God as God. And so this idea of friendship and, oh man, sometimes it can spill over into God's my homeboy and God's this. No, he's not. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Like, listen, I'm an old dude now, gray beard and all this, but I can still remember being an 11-year-old boy playing on my squirt hockey team. And so me and all my teammates are in the room, and this one young kid, he calls his dad over, and this young boy, he steps up onto the seats in the locker room, and he steps up, so he's actually like a foot taller than his dad. And then he says, his dad stands before him and he says, now dad, ask me how the weather is up here. And he says, okay son, how's the weather? And then this kid goes, and he spit in his dad's face. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, when I saw that, I was like, man, if I did that, the next thing you'd read about, and Adam went home to be with the Lord, right? Because my dad would have killed me, all right? And so what happened? Like this kid, you know, right or wrong, he had lacked a reverence. That's your father, man. That is your dad, your provider, the one who brought you into the world. And we never should forget, man, that God, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen to what it says, the psalmist says in Psalm 25 and verse 14. It says this, the Lord is a friend to those who fear him. He teaches them his covenant. Isn't that odd? Like God says, you want to be my friend, that my friends, they revere me, they fear me, okay? And so I think that's unbelievably important. But here's the other side of the ditch. And so if one is a lack of reverence and respect, the other one is just failing to believe that relationship, friendship with God is available. And so I'll share this story. I was playing for the Atlanta Thrashers at the time, and so I was injured. I was rehabbing an injury, and so we shared the building with the Atlanta Hawks of the NBA. And get this, the Los Angeles Lakers were in town to take on the Hawks. And you got to think about this. This is back in the Shaq Daddy and Kobe Bryant, where they were just knocking down championships. They were in to play the Atlanta Hawks. And so I walked into the Hawks weight room, and when I walked in there, who's there? None other than Shaq Daddy himself, the Big Diesel, Shaquille O'Neal. And so, man, I immediately dapped him up. Hey, bro, I like that. And he's like, I could tell he's a little bit annoyed with me, you know. So he just winds up leaving. I wound up working out with his bodyguard. But here's what's crazy. Like I can tell you some stuff about Shaq. Do you know, here's what I know. I know he went to LSU. I know he's about 7'1", 325 pounds. I know this, that he has 4 NBA titles to his name, that he was drafted number one overall. And so here's what's crazy. I met him. I had an experience with Shaq. I also can tell you some stuff about him. But here's the reality. I sure don't know him. And he definitely doesn't know who I am. And here's what's unfortunate. I just described some of your relationship with God. You had an experience with him way back in this time. You might be able to spit out a few stats about God, but you don't know him. You don't have a relationship with him. You know him like I know Shaq. Okay? And so, man, God wants you to know he wants to have a relationship with you. Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." So isn't that crazy? It's like Jesus is, he's identifying that, man, there's going to be some people that they do God's stuff and they're around God's people. But Jesus is like, who are you? I don't know you. And so relationship with God is what we're after. And if you don't believe you can have a relationship with God, you'll run to religion. And here's the thing about religion. Religion makes promises it could never keep. Like, you're going to look to pull things out of religion that it just can't give to you. And so I've shared this one before, but I think it's so hilarious. Karen Alpert, she just wanted to prove a point to her husband that was lazy and laying around the couch. So she thought she was going to stick it to him a little bit. So she gave him a strict and distinct grocery list. You need to go to the store and get these exact ingredients for me. And so you can imagine. So this dude is trapped at the grocery store. Can I read you what was on his list? His list was this: 3% milk. For the record, they don't make that. Seedless strawberries. For the record, they don't make that either. Wheat thins, but the ones in the blue box. For the record, they come in a yellow box. All right. So this fool is just all over the place. You need to get some unsour cream. I like that one. Here's one. You need to pick up some Diet Coke. It's not Diet Coke. It's Diet Coke. It's new, she said. And here's the other one. Mellow cheese. And then here, the final one is organic Pop-Tarts. For the record, that might be a thing now, okay? Because everything's organic these days. But I thought that was hilarious. Man, he's going to the store. Hey, dum-dum, those things, you'll never find them because they don't exist. And the same way, when you look to pull out of religion something that only a relationship can give to you, you're never going to find it. And so only in relationship does real transformation come. Only in relationship with Jesus are miracles possible. Only in relationship, man, is eternal life an option. And so, there's a Scottish minister. His name is Alistair Begg. You should check out this. You can Google it or YouTube it. You know, and he tells the story about man, the thief on the cross. You remember the thief that he says, "Jesus, remember me when you enter into your kingdom." And he says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And so he starts to speculate what it was like for that thief on the cross as he got to heaven, and he wondered if Gabriel would be at the heavenly gates, and just wondering, "Hey, I don't see your name on the list. Why are you here?" And the thief is like, "I don't know." And then, well, Gabriel asks him, "Hey, well, what's your belief on the inerrancy of Scripture?" And he's like, I don't know. I don't even know what that means. How do you believe you see salvation? Is it by grace through faith alone?" And he's like, "I don't even know what that means either." And he says, well, what are you doing here?" And then he just stops and simply says, "The man on the middle cross, he said I could come." And isn't that the reality? That the only way we get to the Father is through the Son, Jesus Christ, a relationship with Jesus. And so you need to beware the two ditches, a lack of reverence or a failure to believe that you can have a relationship with God. And so so how do you cultivate friendship with God? And so I'm going to give you, this is kind of the how-to, if you will. They're all going to start with T because I'm a pastor and we have to do those things, right? Let me give it to you. Here's the first way you cultivate a friendship with God. Number one is this. It's time. It's time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, it says this. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so here's what I need you to see. Like, listen, we are all slammed and busy. You can make more money, but you can never make more time, right? So time's a very valuable commodity. But notice what Paul just said in Thessalonians. He says that you're not adding into anything extra to your schedule. All you're doing, hey, invite presence with God with you, which in what you're already doing. So notice he says this, rejoice always. And so, hey, I can do that. I mean, I can just start rejoicing to the Lord and find good stuff. He says to give thanks always for everything. And so start looking around at things that you can be thankful for and grateful for, right? Give thanks in all circumstances. He says, pray without ceasing. All that means is, man, talk to God all the time while you're in your car, while you're commuting, man, while you're having lunch, while you're going for a walk. Talk to God, right? And so time is how you cultivate relationship and friendship. I just heard learned this week, and so I thought it was so cool. And like Moses, he's a big deal in your Bible, right? You know, if you don't have a last name, if you just have the name Moses, like it's like Oprah or Jordan or Prince, right? You're a big deal. And so Moses was a big deal, but it went bad for him as a deliverer. He murdered a man and then was on the run from Pharaoh, and he ran to the backside of the desert to a place called Midian. It was there he met his soon-to-be wife, and his new father-in-law was a man by the name of Jethro Reuel. And the name Reuel means a friend of God. And so his father-in-law, his name was friend of God. And so Moses would spend the next 40 years with his father-in-law learning how to be a friend of God. And then out of friendship with God, what? God equipped him to go in and be the deliverer of God's people. And so let me just tell you this. So the longest standing ovation in sports history was 22 minutes. And get this, for this this sports hero, he didn't do a bunch of home runs. He didn't score a bunch of touchdowns. He didn't knock a bunch of people out. Here's what he did. He simply showed up. Get this, Cal Ripken Jr., they gave him a 22-minute standing ovation when he won the Ironman Award. He played in 2,131 consecutive games. In other words, 2,131 times, he just showed up. And I got to tell you something. Do you know what? My relationship with God, that's pretty much sums it up for me, is just showing up led to friendship. Because I was going to be honest with you, you know, when I first started walking with Jesus, honestly, I was using him. I was using him for heaven. I was using him. I wanted him to bless me. And listen, I still want those things, but I don't know where it happened. Somewhere along the line, he became more important than those things. He was what I was after. Like, I still want heaven. I still want God to bless me. I just want him more. Like, Jesus went from being useful to being beautiful. And you know how it happened? Just from showing up every morning in the Word, man, what relationship and friendship with God was cultivated. And so number one is time. Number two is talk. And so let me read for you from James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. See if you can see a pattern here. It says this, James says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Which for the record, that's praying to a melody. Verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. So I don't know if you're catching this, man, but James is like, hey, pray. You know, he reminds me of one of the coaches I had. I won't name him and out him, but one of my coaches, I was like, this guy either doesn't know hockey or he's brilliant, and I can't decide which it is, because whenever I'd ask him a question, he had the same answer every time. It's a read and react situation. And so I'm like, well, what do you do when I'm down low in the corner? He's like, well, it's a read and react situation. Well, what do I do in front of the net? If I need to move this guy out, it's a read and react situation. And I'm like, man, this guy's either a moron, doesn't know what he's talking about, or he might be brilliant, because honestly, at the end of the day, everything really is a read and react situation, right? So I'm undecided on this. But here's what I know, man, that James, he had one answer to all of life's questions. And what is it? Hey, you're sick, pray. Hey, you're happy, pray. You're sad, pray. Just pray. And so I want to tell you that as you talk to God, that's all prayer is, man. Relationship is being developed and formed. And so I want to just kind of help you with something. When you pray, man, just talk to God. Just pray what you got and not what you think you should have. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to pray in Elizabethan English. And I was busting one of our pastors. We were just having a prayer meeting, and he just opens up with, he's like, "Dear Lord, we beseech you, sir." And I'm like, "Beseech you? What are we from England now all of a sudden, or what?" You know, I'm like, hey, man, be authentic with God. Talk like you talk. Isn't the key to friendship like someone who's authentic and real? Like, you don't feel like they're being fake or pretending all the time. And so don't do that to God. Pray what you got. And then I'd say this as well, you know, that prayer is a two-way street. It's a conversation, a dialogue between you and God. And so, sure, you pray and you talk to God, but then as well, you need to listen, because God's going to speak to you. God will speak to you. And so here, if you want to do a better job at hearing the voice of God, listen, God is spirit, and so he's going to talk to your spirit. And so we need to become adept at hearing in our spirit. And so let me illustrate it this way. So, you know, in the NHL, it really is a somewhat global sport. Like, we had athletes from Russia, Czechoslovakia, Sweden, Finland, like just all over the place, man. And so these poor individuals, they were learning the English language in the locker room, which is never a good idea. And so, you know, when you're learning a new language, what's the first thing you learn? That's right. They learned all the cuss words. And then they learned just two or three nouns and verbs. And so they got their cuss words, their nouns and verbs. And now what? Now they have the building blocks to communicate with other people. And it was real kind of like rugged and raw, but they were able to communicate now. Why? Because they had a little bit of verbiage in their vocabulary. And, you know, that's what happens when you read the Word of God. God's word is spirit. And as you start reading it and getting into you, you're getting the building blocks for vocabulary so you can hear and understand from God. One of my teammates was from Czechoslovakia, so he was learning the English language. And I remember one morning he came in and he was just so excited. Adam, he says, "I dreamt in English last night." And so I'd never thought of that before, man. He had a dream. It would normally be in his native language, but he was inundated with English so much that he dreamt in English. And the same thing is going to be true of you. As you fill yourself up with the Word of God, I promise you, man, there's going to come a moment where you're like, oh my gosh, God just spoke for me. I heard from God in my spirit, all right? And so time, talk, and here's number three is trust. Trust. Man, you have to have trust in friendship. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says this, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who seek him." And so without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith is nothing but trust in action, right? And so I've shared this story before, but Ernie Johnson, he's a six-time Emmy Award-winning sportscaster, and Ernie Johnson was diagnosed with cancer. And so when you hear the big C word, I mean, that could really rock your world. And so Ernie Johnson, he's a Christian, but man, it rocked him. And so he met with his pastor over coffee, and his pastor sat him down, and he took a napkin, and he was writing down on the napkin, and he's like, Ernie, you have three options. He says, you can trust God if dot, dot, dot. He says, or you can trust God when dot, dot, dot. He says, or you can trust God, period. And he said that's what he needed, man, the faith to go, I'm just going to trust God, period. And God met him, saw him through all his chemotherapy, and he's perfectly well now. And so, listen, you can trust Jesus. Man, when he extends his hand to you, you can trust it. You know why? Because it's nail-pierced. You can trust it. But here's, I think, a bigger question. Can God trust you? Can God trust you? And so, I heard this story. So if you're a parent out there, you'll feel me on this. But a couple, they had these two younger boys, and dad was going away on a two-day business trip. And so he read his young sons the Riot Act. They would always like to, they would go sleep with mom while he's gone. And so he's like, boys, if I hear of either of you climbing into bed and not with mom and not sleeping in your own room, there's going to be you know what to pay, all right? So you boys better do it. And so the 2 days pass, and the mom and the two boys, they meet dad at the airport, and as dad comes out, man, the boys are just so ecstatic to see their dad, and one boy yells into the crowd to their dad, hey dad, no one slept with mom while you were away. So for the record, that probably doesn't have much to do with my last point, but it kind of does in this, did you know that there's a John the Beloved? He was called the disciple who Jesus loved. He had such a friendship and relationship with Jesus. Do you know when Jesus hung on the cross, he says, hey, John, I want you to take care of my mom. Take care of my mom for me. Like, do you know that, like, Jesus had brothers and sisters that could have cared for his mom, but he says, nope, I want my friend, the one I trust, to care for my mom. And so can he trust you? Could he trust you to care for his mom? Like, are you faithful to God? Are you faithful with the finances he's given you? Are you faithful with the spouse he's given you? Are you faithful with your church? It's the bride of Christ, right? And so can God trust you? And then I'll close with this story. It kind of brings it all together. This idea of God, he's reconciling us because he wants to be back in relationship. It's the story of Annie. So Annie was a young Amish girl. She worked on the farm and her family. And as a little girl, man, her one dream was to have a family of her own one day. And so as a 19-year-old girl, man, she found her man. His name is Jonas. And man, they instantly fell in love. They loved one another and they loved Jesus. They were married at the age of 19. And they immediately started having a family and having their babies. And there was just much joy, much laughter. And they were a big part of their church. And until tragedy struck. Is one morning their youngest daughter was killed in a farming accident. And so as you can imagine, that just rocked Annie and Jonas. Annie in particular, because she just kind of thought, oh no, if I do good and I love Jesus, then all good stuff is just going to happen to me. And so it rocked her faith and everything. And in the Amish culture, you don't talk about your feelings or your emotions. So what happened is Annie and Jonas, they just grew apart. And so they just lived a cold relationship, and Annie was spiraling downward. So she went and met with her pastor to get some counseling, to which that pastor that evening seduced her. And it capped off a 6-year affair that they would have. And just the shame and the emotion inside of Annie, it was ripping her up inside, living this lie until she was emaciated. She had all these health problems until finally she came forward and she told Jonas what had been going on. And he said this, he says, in one moment, everything was taken from me. My masculinity, my pride, my strength, it was all taken from me. And so as he got a chance to get himself together a little bit, that Jonas went for counsel. And a godly man told him, he says, the only way that you could save your marriage is if you would approach Annie like Jesus approaches you. And so he actually gave Annie the opportunity. He says, Annie, I don't know if you're going to leave. He goes, I will help you move. I will help you find a place. He says, you have to promise me one thing. Promise me you'll take the girls. The girls need their mommy. And there was this for this one moment, she didn't feel dirty. She felt accepted. And she said this, man, it was a spark of hope. And so they decided to get marriage counseling together. And it took over a year. And Jonas remembers the first time they were walking in the mall and they were distant. And then for the first time in years, Annie walked over and grabbed his hand and they kept walking. He says, I felt like I was 9 feet tall that day. And so they moved from that moment on. They decided that Jonas wanted to be a marriage counselor so they could help families the way they were helped. And so Annie, she went to work to kind of make ends meet for her family. And what she did is she decided she would make pretzels and sell them at the state fair. You may have heard of Auntie Anne's pretzels. That little pretzel thing that she sold at the state fair, and now it makes over $500 million per year, okay? If you can't go to a food court or an airport without going blind by one, and the aroma waft just sucks you in to get some of Auntie Anne's pretzels. And here's, I tell you that whole story to say this. Do you know that Jonas and Annie, they were ripped apart because of sin? But what happened? That they were reconciled back together, and the overflow of that reconciliation led to the good of others. And I got news for you. That's our story. Man, that God, man, because of sin, we were ripped away from friendship and relationship with God. But through the cross of Christ, now we've been reconciled back into friendship, relationship with God. And now out of the overflow of that friendship, man, we're to go and bless the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, most of all, God, that you would call us your friends, God. And so, Lord, you've been so faithful to us. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to be faithful back to you in friendship. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.